have a big room with a lot of empty chairs. God has lots of room in His thoughts for you tonight. But you know, one day, every vacancy is going to be filled and the Lord is going to come. And there's not going to be one empty seat. Will you be there? That's what the gospel is about. An invitation to God's house. We'd like to start tonight with hymn number 6. God in mercy sent His Son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified. 'Twas for sinners. Jesus died. Oh, the glory of the grace shining in the Savior's face, telling sinners from above, God is light and God is love. This is the gospel message. We want to present to you tonight a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just a religion, not just a way of life, a living reality for your soul. Pay attention. Some brother start this, please.
God in mercy sent His Son to the world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified. 'Twas for sinners Jesus died. Oh, the glory of the grace shining in
to the Lord for his blessing and prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank thee for the gospel message that comes from above and tells sinners that God is light and God is love. We thank thee, our God, for the way thou hast come out in the open, in the light, and made thyself known to us. We thank thee for the scriptures that reveal to us thy word. And so, Lord, we pray tonight as we open this holy book, this book that will never pass away, will never be contradicted, that thou wilt bless the reading of it to our ears. Give us attentive hearts. Give us willing hearts. And open our mouth to speak. Now we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'd like to speak tonight, dear friends, dear Christian friend, about light. God is light. God has manifested himself to us. He's come out in the open. There's no uncertainty about many things of God. We have in our hands, I hope you have one, a Bible. God wrote this book. It's infallible. It has no errors as God wrote it. And we can read it. We can base our lives on it with confidence. It is God's word to us. And tonight I would like to read a few passages from the book of John, the Gospel of John, beginning with chapter 1, verse 1. I'd like to notice how the Lord Jesus, the light of the world, makes things known. The wonderful thing that God has revealed himself to us. Men like to study things. They will spend endless hours of research and time to discover things of this creation in the finite things and in the grandeur of the stars and so on. Wonderful. God can be known in many different ways. But tonight we'd like to look at him as revealed in the scriptures through the Lord Jesus, the light of God, the one who came down from heaven to make known to us in human form what God was like and reveal him to us. And if nothing else gets accomplished tonight, I hope you feel that you know the Lord Jesus, the light of the world, better after this meeting is over. And if your soul hasn't come in contact with him as your Lord and Savior, that you will learn to know him tonight as such. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Just that far for the moment. We have here the Lord Jesus Christ presented as the Word, the declaration of what is, the expression of it, come down here, a full. Never has there been a better expression of what God is than what the Lord Jesus brought and made known to us in person. He was a living demonstration, God, here on earth. all things were made by Him. Everything that you can see made by Him, including ourselves. And then it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And I'm told that this is a reciprocal expression, and that you can read it the other way around too. Light was life. And so that is the gospel. Life. People are searching for life. What are we living for? Advertisement is geared towards it today. Live. And there's presented all kinds of ways that are better ways to live, to make you have a better life. Here we have the Lord Jesus, the light. In Him was life. This is real life. And we'll notice as we read some accounts here through this book of how the light of God brought life. We're living in a creation that's constantly dying. Death is all around us. We need life. We need eternal life. And the Lord Jesus has brought it to us. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Sometimes perhaps we have this concept that we're so self-sufficient that we can decide our own problems and decisions. Things are presented to us and we feel quite capable often to choose what we think is the best. But you know, when it comes to God coming down and making Himself known, nobody has ever attained to come with a strong enough light to search Him out and find Him and decipher and know God. We don't get to know God in that way. God is the one who has come out and revealed Himself to us. When the Lord Jesus came, it says, the darkness comprehended Him not. Oh, it's a great thing to just get in the light and let it shine. Let it reveal what is. I believe it reveals two things in a general way. It reveals what God is, and it reveals what we are. And you'll notice as you read through the Gospels, and particularly this Gospel of John, every person that came in contact with the Lord Jesus, He revealed what they were. He made it manifest, good or bad. That's God. When you get into the light, things become apparent. And so, this is what God does. This is the way God is. God is light. God has no shadiness about Him. We talk about shady characters. That is, there's inconsistencies. There's hidden things about them. There's unknown. And sometimes we like to live that way too. You can't get near God and have anything hidden, dear friend. Are you hiding something from God tonight? Are you living a lie in your life? Something that's not apparent, that you haven't made manifest before Him or anybody else? Come to the light. Get it out into the open. It's a terrible thing to live with a bad conscience. Who are you fooling? Can anybody fool God? No, the light makes everything known. Just like to read a few more verses here in the first chapter before we go on down further. Verse 9, it says that, referring to the Lord, the Word, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Oh, here we get the life. How do you get saved? How do you get life? How can you live with God, your Creator? Here's the remedy. Here it is. Through faith in his name. Life. A new life. Born again. As many as received him. And so, the Lord Jesus is presented to you here tonight. We offer him to you tonight. Receive him. Let him shine in your life. And he will give you life. Now let's turn over to the third chapter. And we'll read an account here, a little part of it. We'll begin reading with the 17th verse. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I believe this portion is really an answer to Nicodemus, who came to the Lord by night. Why did he come to the Lord by night? He didn't want to be seen. But there was a desire to know the Lord with him, apparently. And so he went and he came to where the Lord was, even though by night. And there may be someone here like that tonight. Maybe you didn't really want to come here. Maybe it was your parents that brought you. And maybe there's something in your life that's still hidden. And so, when the light starts to shine, you feel bad. There's something unresolved. There's something in your conscience. There's something hidden. Not really hidden from God, but in your own mind, you are hiding it. Now, the purpose of the Lord Jesus in coming as the light wasn't to make anybody feel bad or to condemn them. And that's where we started reading. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. You see, many times when we start talking about the light and how God is and his righteousness and his holiness and who he is and how he does things, immediately people start recoiling, drawing back, and as it were hiding because there's something wrong. And oftentimes they'll say, well, who are you to start condemning? Oh, you've misread the representation. He didn't come here to condemn. Oh, the light may reveal things that are to be condemned, yes, but that was not his purpose. He came to save. And did God want heaven to be
full of a lot of people that had all those hidden things just put under the rug, as it were, temporarily, and no certainty that at some future day they would never be brought up against you again? Is that your ideal of heaven? Oh, dear friend, God has a better way than that. God's way is to bring everything out into the light, to take care of it. And so He has done that. And so, dear Nicodemus, who came to the Lord by night, he's getting a little lesson here. But that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. How plain John makes these things. Very simple. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Now, what's your situation? Are you condemned or are you not condemned? The Lord Jesus didn't come to condemn. The fact that the light came and shone here to Nicodemus, or to you tonight, isn't what makes you condemned. What makes you condemned is if you reject Him as your Savior, then you are condemned. That is the big question. Oh, dear friend, you needn't go out of this room condemned. You know, back in our town, we have a building in a little town there where I live, and it's about to fall down. And because of the danger of it, they have roped off the sidewalk so that nobody can pass in front of this building. And then there's some signs on there to the effect that that building is condemned. And they rope it off so nobody can go by there, because they're afraid that if somebody, while somebody's walking by there, a brick could fall off, and it's in such disrepair. It's beyond ability to fix up and renew, and it's going to have to be torn down one day. It's a rather foolish thing to have a building and like that and just keep it up and keep it there and keep it there. Why not get it over with? Why not tear it down? Well, you know, that's really a little picture of what we are without God. Really, when the Lord Jesus came here, He proved that to be so. Now, oftentimes we may misrepresent God in our presentation of the gospel. And there may be, because of our poor representation of God, some excuse for someone not accepting God and the gospel. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came, He so perfectly represented God that there'll never be an excuse not to accept the revelation that God has made. Oh, dear friend, that's why to reject Christ is to be condemned. Because He was the perfect litmus test, we might say. He was the perfect representation of God. And if anybody rejects Him, that's why they are condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. And the Lord Jesus made that fact plain because of His presentation of the gospel. Sometimes, you know, We get questions about people and that haven't heard the gospel. And I think sometimes it's used as a way of it, as it were, passing the buck on. But you know, we've heard the gospel here tonight. The Lord Jesus has been presented. He is the Savior. And He was that perfect representation of God, the light. And so, because of that, if you reject the Lord Jesus as your Savior, there is no other way to be saved. And that is what brings condemnation. And so just the fact that light has come in itself doesn't bring the condemnation. But the rejection of that light in your soul, to say no to the Lord Jesus, is to what will bring condemnation to you. And men love that. And men go on, many, in that state before God. They do not want their life revealed before God. Well, dear friend, it's lovely to think that the Lord didn't want anybody to be lost. And He made known the way of salvation. And so that only those who reject Him as their Savior will be condemned and lost in their souls. How good it is to come to the light. Let God shine in your heart, dear friend. Let God reveal Himself to you. It's for your good and for blessing. Now we'll go on to another case in John in the 8th chapter. I'd like to read a little bit of the 8th chapter of John, where we have the light shining again. John chapter 8 and verse 3. The scribes and Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and with His finger wrote on the ground, as though He heard them not. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up Himself, and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This is so beautiful, of the light of life shining out here. Now put yourself in this situation. To whom would you like to commit your soul's welfare? The Lord Jesus or those scribes and Pharisees? Now let's look at the different attitudes. The scribes and Pharisees here They had a point of contention against the Lord, and they were seeking how to convict him, to prove him wrong, to find a fault. And what would they do to do that? They would sacrifice a poor woman to do it, and her reputation, and bring a scandal out into light in order to accuse the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last night we had spoken to us about the world and how it will treat us. And here you get another picture of it. And what people won't do in the right situation or in the wrong situation. Talk about abuse. What a pity for this poor woman. And so this is the scene, this is the predicament that the Lord Jesus is put in. Would he forgive a person like this? If so, where is the righteousness of God? Oh, the light of God shines perfectly. What beauty comes out here of the Lord Jesus? What a difference on his part. He, on the contrary to them, took away all the accusers. And this is what the light of God does for us, beloved. The light of God that shines out and shows, yes, that we are sinners. And we are, dear ones. That's our natural condition, born in sin. We can't get around it. And it comes out of our hearts all the time. And the closer we get to God, the more apparent it is. But what a Savior he shows himself to be. What compassion. What beauty of taking care of all the accusers. He put them all away. They had come and used her as a scapegoat to get him. And he, blessed be his name, did not want to condemn neither that poor woman nor the ones who had brought her. And to me, that is even more remarkable. And that's why he stooped down to the ground and wrote. If he were to rise, the only one who had a right to take up stones, the only one who was without sin, if he had started throwing stones, he wouldn't have started with the woman. He would have started with the eldest. And they realized that. The light of God was shining in their hearts. But there are two different reactions. One reaction was to go away from it and flee and walk away. The other was to stay there and let the light shine. Oh, dear friend, what are you doing with the light of God? Are you running away from it? Consider what you're running away from. Is this the kind of man you really want to run away from? Oh, when you really see what he's like, I don't believe you'll want to run away. Maybe this woman didn't have any other choices. And how good of God to take her up in that way. She couldn't get out of the situation. In a certain sense, she couldn't run away. And if God has allowed something in your life so you can't run away, stay there where he is and let the light shine in your heart. Let him give you life. Let him put all those sins away. And let him show you what life is really about. That's what he did to this woman. And so he stooped down and wrote on the ground, waiting for those dear ones. And then he stood up and said, "He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone." They went away until finally only the woman was left. And as we have commented, he asked this woman, "Where are those thine accusers?" God knows how to put the accusers away. If this doesn't win your heart, what would? Oh, thank God it's won my heart over to see the beauty, the forgiveness that's with God. Now, I'd just like to comment on this, that this chapter doesn't tell us how those sins are put away, but the rest of the book does. And so we have to turn to other scriptures to see how the sins are put away. The Lord wasn't just passing over the sins here. Oh no, nothing of that. You see, the Lord Jesus, when He died there on Calvary's cross, He took care of those sins for you and me. He bore them there. And in order for Him to say this to this woman, "Go and sin no more, neither do I condemn thee," He had to go to the cross and bear those sins for her and for you and for me. And so the light of God puts the sins away and brings the sinner into His presence in a perfect harmony and bliss. You can be comfortable in God's presence. It's been said, you know, that if a sinner could get to heaven, he'd be the most miserable person that ever was, because he'd still have his sins on him. That's not the way God takes us there, in our sins. He puts the sins away and then He brings us in to His presence. And the light shines. And it can shine in every corner because there's no dirty spots. There's nothing left to accuse. This is our God. And this is the fullness of the gospel. When God does something, He doesn't do it half-heartedly. He doesn't do it just in part. It isn't a question of God doing His part and then you have to do your part and you meet halfway in between or somewhere in there. Oh, God has really done it all. And He invites you to come. And so He says, "Neither do I condemn thee." Not only does He take the accusers away, and now He says, "Neither do I condemn thee." What consolation to the heart! Have you heard the Lord Jesus say that to you? "Neither do I condemn you." That's what the gospel is about. Take the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and you will never face a condemning God. Go and sin no more. That's liberty. Liberty of life. You see, when you take the Lord Jesus as your Savior, He puts the sins away and He gives you a new life that cannot sin, that will not sin. Yes, we still have the old nature. But the life that the Lord gives is perfect liberty to go out and live and please God. What a blessed place. And those who accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior already have the life that we will share and have in heaven for all eternity. It's ours now. And so He can say, "Go and sin no more." No restrictions. No words of warning. This is the grace of God teaching her. Now let's turn over to the 9th chapter of John. Verse 1. "And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is, by interpretation, sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Now we have another interesting little episode in the life of the Lord Jesus of the light of God and the purpose of the Lord Jesus coming here to shine, to dispel the darkness, to give life and light. And here is the case of a man born blind. And the disciples are perplexed by this. How is it that this man was in this condition? What started it? What was the cause? Was it his parents' sin? Or was it his own sin? If it was his own sin, how come he was born that way? He never had a chance, as it were. This is the reasoning here, the thought. Oh, a wonderful thing comes out of this story. You know, there's many awful things that happen in the world. And I enjoyed the comment that was made yesterday about peace and the throne of God. That is, in God's presence, there's nothing out of order, there's no trouble, there's nothing disturbing. It's all perfect bliss and peace. And in a certain sense, I really believe that when the Lord Jesus comes down here, He makes the same thing real here on earth. And so this case of a predicament of a blind man, He takes care of it. What a beautiful story. The works of God, that the works of God should be made manifested. That's why God let this man be born blind. Maybe, dear friend, you have some terrible predicament in your life, some unexplainable thing, and there's a lot of to-do made about abuse and the evils of this world today, and it's certainly true there is a lot of horrible things happening out there. Why is it that God allows it? Oh, I believe we have a wonderful reason right here, that the works of God should be made manifest. And that's the purpose of this gospel meeting and your being here, that the works of God should be made in your life. God has the remedy. He had the remedy for this blind man. You may have a different problem, but God has the remedy. And so the Lord Jesus gives a demonstration here of it, the works of God. God has let the world go on in its present state, where sin has ruined it in a large extent, so that the gospel could be preached and souls saved and delivered from it and brought into God's family and God's house, a far greater blessing than if man had never sinned in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Nobody can say, because of this, that God is unjust in letting things go the way they are, temporarily as they are. There's a coming a day, dear friend, when I believe, according to Scripture, that God will put everything in its proper place. But He hasn't chosen to do it now, at this time yet. What has God chosen to do now? He's chosen to take and reveal Himself to special ones like this poor blind man and magnify His love and grace in saving them and delivering them from their present condition and giving them eternal life. And that's why it's to your advantage to take the gospel, to let the light of God penetrate in your life, dispel all the bad, the wickedness, the sin, the darkness, to give you light and life in your life, give you new meaning, a motive to live, the eternity of bliss with His Son Jesus Christ in glory. And men reject it. What would we'd say if, what would people say if this man here, this blind man, had gone down there and said, after the Lord anointed his eyes with mud or with clay, and then he said, oh, I don't think I want to do this. He has no right to tell me what to do. What a fool to say that. But how many people are oblivious to God's offers today? Now this man here, the way the Lord healed him is a rather interesting way. He put clay on his eyes, mixed with his saliva, his spittle, and told the man to go wash in the pool Siloam. Now that is a picture, I believe, of the sent one who came down, the light of the world. And it's a picture of our need of accepting the sent one and taking him, applying him to your eyes so that you may see. Just as we were saying at the beginning, the light was made, in the light came into the world, but the darkness did not comprehend it. But God in His faithfulness has worked. And so He did with this man. To receive the blessing, all this man had to do was to obey. And I'd like to say this about our preaching of the gospel. You don't have to understand everything about the gospel to receive the blessing of it. You have to just believe it. Just believe it. Accept it. Obey it. Do what God says. And so it was simply a question of obeying for this man. But how many times our hearts are unwilling. And we're not going to read the rest of this story, but it's pitiful to read the contrast in the rest of the chapter of this inquisition that the Jews put this blind man through afterwards to find some fault with the Lord. And again, they're, as it were, sacrificing this poor man here that had been healed of his sight. And they cast him out of the synagogue in the inn. And at that moment, the Lord Jesus comes along and picks him up and makes himself known to him in a fuller way. The light of the world was here, opening the eyes of the blind. Dear friend, let him open your eyes. Not just the physical eyes. With him it was the physical eyes. For us, oh, it's the eyes of faith in seeing God. Let God reveal Himself to you in your heart. Let the light penetrate down into your soul. It will bring blessing. The sent one was here. That's why He came. He came all the way from heaven to make this message, to bring this blessing to us. Well, we'll pass on down to the end of the chapter. I just want to read a few of the other verses here. In the verse 34, we have the end of the discourse of the rejectors And they answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with he. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Beautiful. What a contrast. The Jews were looking for every pretext to not believe. And every time they brought out another testimony, it turned against them, and it did. And the Lord proved that he was right in what he did. Now here's the contrast. A man who hadn't had the opportunity yet of ever seeing the Lord Jesus. You see, the Lord had sent him away in this condition of blindness. And his sight had been recovered. And he hadn't seen that blessed man yet. Now, the Lord Jesus goes and looks him out. Oh, the Lord Jesus, he doesn't just get us started on the right path of life, but he follows through with his plan of salvation. And he makes a worshiper out of this man. And so, when the Lord presents himself to him, he says, Who is he that I might believe? What a blessed way. Would to God there was someone here in this room tonight that would be that willing to accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Many have. Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Oh, lead this all the way up to worshiping God. What a thing. Bring a sinner to a worshiper of God. This is the gospel. Now there's one more case I would like to mention briefly in the 11th chapter. We'll read in John 11. Verse 4, when Jesus heard that he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now I believe most of us know this story of Lazarus and how the Lord went and raised him from the dead. And so I'd like to suggest here that the light of God is also that which even death itself, the darkness, the gloom of it is dispelled. And the gospel has brought life and incorruptibility to light. And so that death is no longer the unknown. And here he uses this case of Lazarus. One he loved. And he had heard that Lazarus was sick. And after the Lord heard Lazarus was sick, he purposefully remained 2 more days there. Why? The works of God needed to be manifested. We needed a testimony that the light of God could go all the way down into the grave and bring back us to life again, one of His saints. And so the Lord let this happen on purpose. And He abode there 2 more days. And then when the disciples, when He spoke about going back there to Judea, the disciples, as it were, sought to dissuade Him of that. The Jews would kill Him, they said. You better not go there. And the Lord speaks of the light. How wonderful that the Lord did not hold back on those, for fear of those things. Oh, He could not. He was the Son of God. And the light was to be here only a certain amount of time. There are 12 hours in the day, and then the sun goes down, and then it's darkness. The Lord was only to be here a certain amount of time, and then He was leaving. And He must do what God had given Him to do. And so He goes down there to Judea. And I think, I believe it was on that occasion that He was eventually delivered up to be crucified. Where He Himself went down into death, robbed death of its sting, and brought life and incorruptibility to light through the gospel. The light of God. How strong it is. What power. What it has revealed to us, the King of Terrors, it's called, death, dispelled it all. And so for the believer, it says that neither death can separate, not even death can separate us from the love of God. Wonderful. The light dispels it. The light of life, it's eternal life, and death cannot touch it. Touches the body. Many of us have laid dear ones aside, but it's spoken here of a sleep because it's temporary. And so that in faith we lay them aside with hope of resurrection. A life beyond death is what the gospel gives. Well, I believe this is the last mention of light in this book. There is a reference here in the end of this chapter. I want to mention one other word of warning. In the 13th chapter, our time is up. In John 13, verse 30, it says, "He then, having received the sop, went out, and it was night." Dear friend, this was the last time that Judas was with the Lord in blessing. He went out, he delivered up the Lord. And it was night. A picture of what it is to reject the light. What a horrible end that man had. To leave the light and go out in your sins. Darkness. Shall we close with prayer? Our God and our Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, that has come down at such a cost to Himself to give us the light of life. We realize, Lord Jesus, that it cost Thee hanging there on that cross during those 3 hours of darkness when sin was brought before Thee and laid upon Thee, when Thou wast made sin for us. When it was all put away, forever settled, in order that the light of God might shine on us for all eternity. We thank Thee, Lord Jesus, for doing that for us. And we thank Thee for giving us the gospel. And we pray Thee, Thy blessing upon each of our hearts here tonight, that we might realize, Lord Jesus, who Thou art and what Thou canst do in our lives. And so we pray Thy blessing on each of us here and others too that have heard the gospel tonight, and commend them to Thee for Thy blessing to work in their hearts, Lord Jesus, and each of us our God.